There once was a boy named Billy, and Billy loved to run. Ever since he was little, he was running around everywhere, and his parents can't even keep control of him. So when he came time to go into high school, the thing that makes sense for him to do was to join the cross-country team, because he loves running so much. So he tried out, made it on the team, and he made a goal for himself. He wants to become the first place in a race, and he wants to beat his personal times. So he is on the cross-country team, and it was on this day that there was a meet against another school. The race started, and then he just started going and was running really fast. And he was doing pretty well too. And around the halfway mark, he hears something behind him. It's a vroom sound, and it seemed to get louder and seemed to get closer to him. He turns to his side, and there's this car that pulls up to his right-hand side. And he's like, wait, what is this? The window rolls down, and his coach was in the car. And the coach is like, hey, how are you doing? Then the coach takes out this giant long tree branch and it starts whacking Billy as he was running. Hey, run faster. Don't take breaks. Don't talk to other people. Get your arms in the right motion. Stop checking out that girl. And Billy was like, stop, why are you doing this, coach? Don't talk back to your coach. If this were actually to happen to you, I guess first thing, tell someone, okay? Because I think that's illegal and it seems like child abuse. But I guess the second, if you find yourself in this situation, just like Billy, and you have a coach who's disciplining you and hitting you, you may feel very discouraged. You may feel that you don't have any endurance left to keep running and to finish that race. You see, in the Bible, there are many places where there's a certain theme, and that theme describes our Christian life and the way that we live it as running a race. We're supposed to be running a race, and our goal is to run towards Jesus. We're supposed to put aside any type of sin or any type of weight or hindrances that will cause us to stumble or that will keep us from preventing to go forward into living a godly life towards Jesus. Even in the book of Hebrews, when we will be looking at in the passage today, there is that theme of running that race. And there's a whole theme of having endurance too. But you see, we may be motivated to run this race for God. God, I want to live my life for you. I want to confess and repent of my sin. I want to grow spiritually. I want to glorify you. And we have that motivation to keep running towards God. But at the same time, we know that in reality, in this life, there are tragedies that happen. There are trials. And God actually disciplines us. And, I'm not trying to compare God with this evil coach. The coach, he's definitely evil. Let's not compare him with God. But I think sometimes we may think that God is sort of evil. God, why would you allow for this thing, this horrible thing to happen to me? Why is there this trial that's happening? I just got sick. Or I just lost a bunch of money and my family is now struggling to survive. Or I'm experiencing persecution. Or I don't know what is this feeling inside in my heart. It makes me feel all alone. In our life, God does discipline us. Now the question is, how should we view and understand discipline from God? Just like Billy, who would think that this disciplining from his coach would discourage him and decrease his endurance to keep running, we can often feel that when God disciplines us with whatever trial he allows, that we would also lose endurance. We would lose motivation to keep running and keep living that Christian life for God. But rather than have us to lose motivation or to lose endurance. The passage that we'll read today actually says otherwise. God's discipline should have the opposite effect. The discipline that is from God should actually increase our endurance, could actually increase our motivation to live a life for God. How so? One, let's see. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take it out and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Please follow along as I read. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance to the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we have a lot of questions. Even right now, we may be experiencing a trial. We may be experiencing pain and suffering. And we just wonder, God, why did you let this happen to me? Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that you would teach us, that you would reveal to us how we should understand your discipline in our life. Help us to see and understand that rather than it being a hindrance, that your discipline is actually a blessing to us. Change our hearts, change our minds. May we be willing to listen. Father, we do desire to live our life for you. We do desire to run that race. But help us know that you are there with us, and that you're there to help us, Lord. We thank you, Father. We lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the main question that we are going to be answering today from this text is this. Why is discipline from God a blessing for endurance in the Christian life? Why is discipline from God a blessing for endurance in the Christian life? And in this passage, we will see that there are three characteristics of God's discipline that will help explain why. So in this passage, you know, the writer of Hebrews first addresses his Jewish readers. You know, and he encourages them to have endurance, to run that race and live their life for God. But you see, the Jews who became Christians at this time, they were experiencing persecution because, you know, like the other like Jewish believers who just followed Judaism, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So you can imagine that when these Jewish believers who turned into Christians started meeting in churches, you can imagine that like the other Jewish people would start to persecute them because they don't believe that Jesus is God. So this is a trial that is happening in their life, and they're wondering, God, why are you disciplining us? So the writer of Hebrews addresses that. And you know, the first thing that he mentions is that, you know, it's not because of this disciplining that is happening that you feel that God is rejecting you. You see, that's not the case. Rather, the discipline that you're experiencing from God is actually his acceptance of you. So our question, why is discipline from God a blessing for endurance in the Christian life? Here's the first characteristic of discipline. Discipline from God reminds us that we are his children. Discipline from God reminds us that we are his children. Let us read verse 5. Verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" The writer of Hebrews is saying, yeah, the reason why you feel this way, the reason why you feel rejected, is because you are forgetting something. You are forgetting that you are children of God, and you're forgetting how to be children of God. The discipline that they receive is an acceptance of God saying, hey, you are my children. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on and he quotes Proverbs chapter 3, 11, and continue reading on in verse 5 and 6 here. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." If you are God's children, you will receive discipline from him. And if you are God's children, you also receive love from him. Now they go hand in hand. They're together. You know, so how can we forget who our Creator and who our Father is? You know how weird it would be if, like, say someone meets you in church for the first time and be like, "Oh, yeah, you look very familiar. Who are your parents again?" And you'd be like, "I don't know." Like, no one forgets who their parents are. Now, the word discipline that you see here, it appears in every single verse from verse 5 all the way to verse 11. And this, the Greek word for discipline is called paideia. No, not paella. Paella is a Spanish rice dish. But paideia. And paideia can be translated in many different ways. It includes discipline, it includes instruction, it includes rebuke, and it includes child training. Yes, child training. If you're God's children, every single one of us needs child training. The children that you see running around in this church, they need child training. If you're in middle school, you need child training. If you're in high school, you need child training. If you are a parent or an adult, you need child training. If you're someone as old as Mr. Woodrow in his 80s, you know, he needs child training as well. And it's kind of a funny picture. You see like God saying, "Oh, Mr. Woodrow, eat your peas. Oh, you shouldn't do that. I'm gonna spank you." All of us needs child training. All of us need discipline. So, like, we're trying to figure out here, how is God's discipline like a blessing to us? And like, so far, all we just mentioned is that discipline shows us that we are God's children. But how is that a blessing? How does that become, help us in our endurance? Well, you see, it comes back to the whole purpose of child training, the whole purpose of why God is disciplining us. Just as, like, you know, your parents have disciplined you, like, many times for stuff that you've done, Like, your parents' purpose is to help you grow from being a child to become a more mature adult. Likewise, when God disciplines us and lets any trial that happens in our life, He is helping us grow in spiritual maturity. And growing in spiritual maturity is actually in the right direction of where we want to go. Remember, we're supposed to be running this race and living our life with God towards holiness, towards godliness, glorifying Him. And this discipline, as it helps us become more spiritually mature, helps us go in that direction. Now, I noticed something. Last summer, I went to Taiwan, and I visited a church. And I saw the children in that church, and they're so well-behaved. You know, they're just sitting there nicely, like, during service, too, not making a sound. And they're so behaved. And I look at, sort of the American children and the American culture that we have, and we see kids, running around. So there is something a little bit different in, Asian countries. So you can imagine, when I was a kid, I grew up here in the U.S. as well, but there are some summers where my mom would take me to Hong Kong, that's where she's from, and she'd like to visit my family, and she would also go out and visit her friends as well. And after a certain point in time, my mom would say to her friends, I can't go out and hang out with you because of Ivan and how he behaves. Because there's this one instance where I was, they had taken everyone to a restaurant for dim sum, and that was an opportunity for my mom to see her friends again, who she hadn't seen since she was a child. And then all of a sudden, one of the workers, pushing the dim sum cart, just yelled out, "Hey, whose kid is this? He's just lying on the floor, rolling around. He's in my way." That was me. See, in the Asian culture, or at least in Hong Kong, everyone expected their child to be sitting there and just being behaved. And here's this American kid just misbehaving. Yeah, that was me. So my mom she had to discipline me. She had to spank me. But it was for my good because she wanted me to grow into adulthood, grow more maturely. God does the same with us to help us grow more spiritually mature. Now, there are other blessings and there are other benefits for being a child of God. No one would discipline someone else's child. If you were a parent, you would only discipline your own child, right? I know a lot of times, after being with some children and I see them just being very annoying, sometimes I wish, no, I wish I can just discipline you. But no, I can't do that. Only your parents can do that. God also, He only disciplines those who are His children. For those people who are not His children, God won't discipline. Let's read from verse 7. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Yeah, so God disciplines those who are His sons, or who are His children. Verse 8, "If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." You may think that you are a believer, but then you may say, I never really experienced any discipline from God. At least I never felt that God was disciplining. Yeah, sure, I've experienced some trials and hard times, but I don't really attribute those to, God disciplining me. If that's the case, then I would be very concerned. Because God says that He only disciplines those who are His children and who love Him. You see, for those children who are true sons and daughters of a parent, in the Roman culture, they are the only ones who can receive the inheritance. But if you are an illegitimate child, in the Roman culture, say that you were born to a different mother or something, you're not part of the actual family, then you receive nothing of the inheritance. So that's why, if you're being disciplined by God, yes, you are God's children. And if you are God's children, it means that you will receive an inheritance from God. And that inheritance is eternal life. Keeping in mind and knowing this blessing that we have should actually encourage us, should actually help us with our endurance and help us run that race and want to live our life for God because of what God's done for us, because of our identity in Him. We need to continuously remind ourselves whenever we're being disciplined by God, whenever we're experiencing a trial, we should always say, God, you are affirming me as your son. You are affirming me as your daughter. At the same time, whenever you guys are disciplined by your parents, I know like it's really annoying. Like they take away our computer time, they take away our cell phones, they limit us. But when your parents discipline you, think of it as God disciplining you as well. And God is helping you run the race. God is helping you grow more spiritually mature. God wants you to be closer to Him. So that's how we can see, you know, discipline from God as a blessing, because of this first characteristic. That discipline from God reminds us that we are His children. Now, what else would this passage suggest in terms of another reason why discipline can be a blessing? Here is the second characteristic of God's discipline. God's discipline, or discipline from God, is not a punishment. Discipline from God is not a punishment. Many times we feel that, you know, God is punishing us. Oh, why did this happen to me? Why did I fail that exam? Or why do I feel this way? Oh, I think God must be punishing me. And we just dwell on that like very dreadful fact. But you see, that is not true. God is not punishing you. And actually, in fact, God will never punish you. I know that sounds like a little bit like shocking at first. What do you mean God will never punish me? If God really wanted to punish you, that trial you're experiencing actually won't do. Like, oh, you feel like you're being persecuted, or you just lost your best friend. That's not good enough of a punishment. If God really wanted to punish you, He would give you what you deserve. And what do we deserve? We deserve eternal separation from God. Basically, we deserve to go to hell because of our sin. So that's why we can never be saying that God is punishing us, because discipline is not punishment. Rather, discipline has a different effect. The reason why God isn't like punishing us, at least in that way, is because of basically what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus had already paid the price. He already paid the penalty for our sins. He already took our punishment. And it's because of that, that's why we can be able to have endurance and live a life for God. I mean, you can understand now that the writer of Hebrews, like, what is the first thing that he mentions here? Let us read from verse 2. So one of the first things that he says to these Jewish believers is, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostilities against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. What Jesus did on the cross, He took our punishment, and that's why we don't need to be punished. The only thing left is basically spiritual discipline. So we should see spiritual discipline as, you know, an act of grace. Grace, because grace is something that we do not deserve. but yet we still receive it. So, I mean, this changes our whole perspective on everything. Like, we don't need to complain whenever God is allowing a horrible trial like happen to us. No matter how bad it is. I know that we experience a lot of things, and we just sometimes feel that we're all alone and no one cares about us. But that act of trial, that act of discipline, is an act of grace. And like we said, it also affirms that you are God's children. Do you see how this changes our mind? This is how it changes our perspective on how we view these trials and persecutions. There is one more characteristic of spiritual discipline that I think we can see from this passage that would help us understand like how, you know, spiritual discipline can be a blessing. Let us read from verse 10. Verse 10. For they, our parents, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, talking about God, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So what is the third characteristic of spiritual discipline? Number three, discipline from God results in spiritual growth. Discipline from God results in spiritual growth. And as we read in verse 10 and 11, there are two types of fruits or two types of results that comes out of spiritual discipline, whatever it may be in your life. The first is holiness, as we see from verse 10, that we may share in his holiness. And the second is righteousness, in verse 11. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So what are those things? See, the word for holiness here in Greek is actually a unique word. This word doesn't appear in any other doesn't appear in any other part of the Bible. And this particular word in Greek emphasizes the fact that there is a change from the inside. There's an inward transformation. You know, this idea of holiness isn't expressed in any other Greek word or in any other place in the Bible. So what should result from our spiritual discipline is that there's an inward change in us. And then, when we talk about righteousness, you know, yielding the peaceful fruit of righteousness, that righteousness is seen as how God views us as being more acceptable and pleasing to him. That is the result. That is the goal of spiritual discipline. Now, in verse 11, it mentions how, for the moment, the discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. So the current situation that you're in right now, it's not going to feel good. You're going to experience pain. You're going to experience suffering. But we can know for a fact that if this discipline is from God, that we will have the results of holiness, a change in inside, and of righteousness, being more acceptable to God. I'm going to give you a couple of examples to help paint this picture. So there was once like this guy who had went into his garage, and he noticed that there were some birds building a nest there, like inside the garage. And it's kind of dangerous for like the birds to be living inside the garage. You know, they're kind of trapped, and you know, sometimes like if the garage door opens, it might like crush them or something. So he took the bird's nest and he moved it outside to a tree. Now, how do you think the birds feel? You know, they'll be like, hey, why are you bothering us? Like, we like it here. You know, to them, the birds, they didn't like this type of move. But, you know, you see, it was for their own good. Because they can't live inside a garage. They need to be outside in the open and free. So think of God as moving us into the right direction that we should be going. There's this guy that I know. he was a college student, and he was in a relationship with this girl. Both of them are believers. But however, this guy's parents noticed that this girl seems to have like a very bad influence on him. Even though she was a believer, the time that they spent together, he was like distracted from his schoolwork. He wasn't even paying attention in class. At the same time, since he was spending so much time with her, she was actually drawing him away from God more than pointing him to God. So the parents, the guy's parents noticed this, and they did what they had to do. And I know it seems very harsh. They made this guy break up with his girlfriend. And put yourself in the position of that guy. Imagine how painful that feels, or how heartbroken. You're my parents. Shouldn't you support me? How could you do this to me? Of course, there was some bickering back and forth. But in the end, even though it might have been reluctant, but he submitted to what his parents said, and he broke up with that girlfriend and ended the relationship. At that time and in that moment, it seemed very painful. But you see, now a couple months later, he begins to realize, how harmful that relationship could have been, and he saw how God's hand was at work in his life. He saw how he could have been turned away from God even further. So the end result of this discipline, resulted in him being more holy and being more righteous in the sense that he is returning to God. It helped him in his relationship with God. It helped him to be more mature in other aspects and be more responsible. Very often, we just think about the here and the now and the current situation of our pain and suffering, and we just complain to God, when in a sense, we should be looking forward to the end result of it. There's also another example in the Bible, with King David. Actually, one of the worship songs that we sang, "Create in Me a Clean Heart," that came from Psalm chapter 51, and that was David's song to God of repentance because he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, someone else who was not his wife. And not only that, he was a murderer. He killed his Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And in 2 Samuel, as I was telling this story, the prophet Nathan approached King David and just basically convicted him. "Hey, do you realize what you did was wrong? You stole another man's wife. You killed him. You have sinned against God." And what happened? The baby that had resulted from that adulterous relationship became sick. And then David just didn't eat anything. He fasted and he prayed to God, asking by God's grace, to let that child live. But in the end, the child didn't live. The child passed away. And this was a form of discipline to King David. But you see, what happened as a result? What was the fruit that had resulted from this discipline? King David, after he found out that the child was dead and there's no point in praying at this time anymore, he got up, he cleaned himself up, he started eating food again, and then he went to the house of God and he worshiped God. David realized his sin. He realized that he had done wrong against God. And because of that discipline, he ended up being restored to God. He ended up growing in his relationship with God. We need to think just more of the bigger picture rather than the picture of the here and now from whatever trial or whatever discipline that God may be putting on you right now. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis in his book entitled, "The Problem of Pain." And C.S. Lewis says this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God shouts to us in our pain. Sometimes it requires that discipline, that suffering, and that pain for us to hear God and for God to use us for his purpose, for his glory, for God to lead us in the direction towards God. So let us review from what we've learned in this passage from Hebrews 12, 1-11. We were answering this question, why is discipline from God a blessing for endurance in the Christian life? And we saw three characteristics of God's discipline that explain why. So the first characteristic is that discipline from God reminds us that we are his children. Because we are his children, we know that we have this inheritance from him. Because we are his children, we know that we're being disciplined to grow more spiritually mature. This should encourage us to have endurance and be motivated to live our life for God. The second characteristic, discipline from God is not a punishment. We shouldn't view discipline as like a negative thing, because the purpose of discipline is not to punish us. God had already punished Jesus, even though he didn't deserve anything. And what's left is living a life towards him. And finally, the third characteristic of discipline is that discipline from God results in spiritual growth. Despite the pain and suffering that you might be feeling from this current trial, there will be holiness, there will be fruits of righteousness, there will be an end result which will encourage us to go towards Christ in this running this race. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the message that you have spoken to us. I know that there are people all over the world who are hurting, even non-believers as well. I pray that through these experiences that we can be able to understand their pain and reach out to them with the good news, with the gospel message, the solution to the pain and the sin that's in our life. Lord, we're in need of you. We're in need of a Savior. And yet, at the same time, Lord, you still allow trials to happen in our life. I pray that you help us to respond to them in the right way. I pray that you help us change our perspective and see how the discipline that you're allowing to happen is actually for our own good. It's actually a blessing to us that you are helping us with our endurance in running that race towards you, in living a godly life. Father, you are an amazing God. Your ways are different than our ways. And very often we may not even understand how your ways work, at least initially. But we place our full faith and our full trust in you, knowing that you will lead us in the right direction. Father, we thank you and we lift these things in Jesus' name.